We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Head football coach Jim Harbaugh joins us today on In the Trenches, gets a chance to review with me all of spring football. We're going to go through the position groups. We're going to go through him coaching his coaches and what he saw as commissioner of the spring game. We'll also get a chance to talk about the rest of his coaching staff, the additions that he has made throughout spring ball, and what to look forward to this coming year in 2022 for Michigan football. So stay tuned in here on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
Well, we got to be better. When you're a champion, all the other teams are scouting you. There's a target on the back there.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
Now joined by the head football coach here at the University of Michigan, that's Jim Harbaugh. Coach, thanks for joining me. And I know we're about a week after spring football finished. The final practice had the spring game about 10 days ago. Your overall thoughts on where this team is and what you saw in spring?
Pretty good. There's always room for improvement, so it's kind of the go-to answer there. Default answer, pretty good, but I think it's better than that. And we got a ton of momentum at this point, and we want to keep building on that as we hit these next 4 weeks of strength and conditioning and continue the football being on the mind. So I think we're in a good place.
A lot of changes, obviously, and that's the one of the unique things about college football is that there's guys that are always graduating here. There's always guys going to the NFL. On the offensive line, let's start there. You had a transfer, Ulu, as I think we like to call him because it's a lot easier. But Olusunga, or can you say his name for me?
Yeah, I go with Olu Olalawatami.
There you go.
Yeah, we go with Olu.
Yeah. So Olu comes in. He's a grad transfer from Virginia, Remington finalist. What did you see from him in his first spring with you?
Well, really good. And there was never any – I was a Remington finalist,
Right.
I'm the man. Look at me. Just he was always about his business. Very, very mature guy, and fit in great with the group. One of the guys proved himself. He's he uh, he already carries a lot of weight, and somebody that, you know, when he talks now, and the more he talks, you know, the better, because he's a very, very squared away guy, and a very good leader, and a very talented player. And you know, him and Greg Crippen have been, you know, very good at center. And Ryan Hayes at left tackle, Trevor Keegan at left guard, Zach Zinner at right guard, Olu at center, and the guy who's emerged the most is Trent A. Jones at right tackle, along with Carson Barnhart. You know, that's your top six right now.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of those young guys, the guys that emerged. You mentioned Trent A. Jones. What is it that you saw in him? Was it a light bulb moment? Was it physical? Just being more comfortable in what he's doing. What allowed him, in your mind, the opportunity to take that step?
Well, he's always been one of the best athletes in the room. Strength. You know, he's improved his strength, his knowledge of the offense. You know, toughness and being able to be in there every down. You know, as a starter. You know, where, you know, in the past, you know, he had Andrew Stuber there and Jalen Mayfield before that. So, but he's a very gifted guy athletically. Strength has progressed. I've always liked watching him. Just 53. Whenever I put on 53. His number. I like watching him, and you know, that's continued. But yeah, he's much stronger and more savvy now.
Sharon Moore, your thoughts on him as the offensive line coach, but also as co-offensive coordinator. Now, how has he taken this group? Because last year was a very veteran group. This year, still a lot of veterans.
Yeah,
but you know, trying to bring along some of those young guys as well.
You know, really good. You know, it is a veteran group, you know, a group that, you know, was good last year and has a chance, to be even better this year. That's, certainly the goal. But also some really good young players, are developing, Raheem Anderson, Reese Atterbury, Gio El Hadi, has shown some very good things. And you know, that Jeff Percy too. I mean, another guy that, you know, in that, you know, kind of that breaking through.
Yeah.
You know, kind of breaking through the ceiling kind of a guy. And I think two really good incoming freshmen and Lorenzelli Alessandro, and super excited about Andrew Gentry. Mm-hmm. Talk about physical presence. So, yeah, the veteran groups continue to progress, and so are the young guys.
Do you see, when you mentioned Gentry, we talked about him on National Signing Day. He was a guy that was out on a Mormon mission, you know, coming in a couple of years older. Do you feel like that gives him an advantage coming in as a, what is he, 19 or 20 years old instead of an 18-year-old freshman?
Well, you can see what he's going to be. I mean, there's he's all a 6'8" and 3.
Yeah, it's a big dude.
You know, 330, 310. You know, right now he hadn't probably been on a scale for a while, but I bet he's at least 310.
Yeah,
and hasn't been working out on a daily basis. So I mean, he's there in terms of, you know, physical growth and everything, and getting back into playing football, knocking some of that rust off, I think, you know, be the big thing. But definitely mature as a person. You know, the mission that the guys go on, I mean, that's always something that has really impressed me. When they come back from a mission, I mean, they're serving, you know, they're working.
Yeah.
There's a humility, there's a maturity, just undeniable. Andrew Gentry, though, when he was coming out of high school, he was a pretty darn mature guy too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talking about a 4.3 grade point average type of guy, you know, one of the smartest ever. come through here.
Let's work our way out just a little bit. One of the things that I thought was a lot of fun in the spring game was watching the tight ends. And the depth of that group from Eric Aull, Luke Schoonmaker, Joel Honigford. I mean, going right down the list. But to be able to see Eric Aull throw a pass. I know you love him as a player. Is there anything that he can't seem to do?
Yeah, I would say both. I love Eric Aull. I love Luke Schoonmaker. Both of those guys, kind of potentially you could have Eric Aull competing against Luke Schoonmaker to be the top tight end in the country. You could have Luke Schoonmaker competing against Eric Aull to be the top tight end in the country. I mean, that's the kind of players I think they are. And tough, good spring ball. I mean, not one guy on the roster was looking to duck out or get out. And certainly not, either of those two gentlemen. Joel Honigford, love him as a player. And young Mac Bredesen.
He had a bunch of passes in that spring game.
Well, he did all spring. He really did. I mean, he was popping all spring and making plays and blocking, looking like a real player. And a lot of the time it was, he was making a majority of those plays when the threes were in there, threes versus threes. Mm-hmm. But then he got in the spring game, and it was equal competition. I was excited to see, how he was going to do in that environment going against some of the starters, and he acquitted himself really well again. He's a talented young man, but there is always something for just the extra effort and to try hard. He just gets the balls, He dives. He gives everything he has for the 6 seconds during a play, and you're going to see Max Bredesen, playing quite a bit, and maybe not as much as he would be able to because of the other three tight ends that we mentioned, and then there's Carter Seltzer, who we love Carter a lot, who didn't practice much in the spring. He had a hamstring that. Got him on the first day and then tried to come back and just nagged him the entire spring. So, but he's talked to him yesterday. He'll be back to full speed here in a week or so.
What did you see from the wide receiver group? Now I know Ronnie Bell is still working through and working back from his injury last year, but
And before that, even to just Matt Hibner, continues to be kind of like. Just on the verge of breaking through and going into his junior year next season. And also really happy with Colston Loveland, the mid-year freshman tight end from Idaho. So wide receiver-wise, Ronnie Bell is, just now more like weeks away from being full speed. He's running. He's starting to cut. He's doing cutting. He's real close. He's almost doing everything that everybody else is doing. So the rehab's been fabulous. He will step right in and possibly even be stronger, faster.
Yeah,
better than he was last year. To go along with the top guys, which are in no order. But, Roman Wilson, Cornelius Johnson, Andrell Anthony, A.J. Henning, who is doing a heck of a good job. Mike Sammerstell, he's playing both ways and starting on defense right now, but also comes over to offense and looks like he hasn't, left offense.
Do you anticipate he'll do that during the season?
Yeah.
Go both ways?
I do. He's got the skill set to do it. He's been really, really impressive. So that was you ain't gonna bet on a guy, you bet on a guy like Mike Sammerstill.
Yeah.
To be able to get that done because he handles all his business all the time. He's just that kind of guy. And then he has the athleticism skill set to be a two-way player. And the other guy, Christian Dixon. Just also on that verge of being able to break through, he did some good things as well.
We saw some young guys in the spring game. Was it Darius Clemens had three catches, real nice touchdown catch. Marion Walker. What'd you see from the young guys? Because you had mentioned on signing day that they were freaks.
Yeah, athletically.
Athletically, what'd you see from them?
Really good. Marion Walker, Darius Clemens, and somebody you didn't see on is Tyler Morris, who we saw him in practice quite a bit. We just didn't have him in contact. He also had a ACL injury when he was in high school, the spring. So it's been about a year now, and they just wanted to keep him out of contact in the spring. Still has a knee brace, but you wouldn't know it. He is elusive slot type of guy with a lot of speed, and Darius Clemens and Amarion Walker are your prototypical outside type of receivers, catching contested balls, running the deep crosses and the crossing routes. And Darius definitely has the more physically developed. Amarion, once he puts in the off season, gets another cycle these next 4 weeks, and then the summer cycle of gaining the strength, the strength and endurance. You can just tell he's going to be a tremendous football player to go along with all that athleticism. But, much like Will Johnson, Will Johnson, you can just see it. He's that type of athlete. When he covers guys, he's right there with them, and he's going to play. Be battling for a starting position. Also, like Amarion, he needs the strength and the endurance that you would expect a mid-year freshman to need. Just Darius Clemens, he does physically. His endurance and strength is already there, already level. Developed, and it'll continue to develop. But continues to be quite exciting with some of these. Some of the 13 mid-year freshmen that came in here and were participating in the spring.
A lot of talent, again, in the backfield. We saw Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards, who we saw all season long, but especially at the end of the year, and his ability to catch the ball. Saw it again in the spring game. But Tavi Dunlap, that room right now seems to be as deep as it's ever been. I know you're down Hassan Haskins, the leadership and his grit, but it feels like, hey, it's next man up. What'd you see from that group of running backs?
Well, definitely, there's the top of the group with Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. I mean, those are the two top guys. And then who that third back will be, or somebody that can really get into the rotation, and or who can take Hassan Haskins' place remains to be seen. Tavi Dunlap, he's got the skill set to do it. He's continuing to improve as a runner and lowering his pads when he gets to the line of scrimmage. But also, I'll let the cat out of the bag. I moved Kalel Mullins to running back and linebacker. He's now a two-way player.
Yeah, we saw that in the spring game. He looked good.
He looked real good, and looked real good in practice. Now the amount of knowing the plays and the offense will develop as he goes. But Tavi could be Kalel Mullins. Is that the guy who replaces a lot of the carries that Hassan Haskins had? But we're in good shape there. And also AJ Henning, we're experimenting with AJ Henning at running back as well. It's out of the experimental stage. He's got the skill set to do it. Kind of envisioned like a Debo Sweeney type of role for AJ Henning. Ways to get him more touches, ways to get him the ball more. It's going to be good for our football team.
When you look at a guy like Mike Sanristil or Khalil Mullings, and those are the two guys you mentioned that are going to be playing both ways, or at least have the opportunity to play both ways, how do you make that decision that's something that they can handle? Because physically and athletically, a lot of guys could probably do that, but taking on the playbook of both sides of the ball, the pressure of playing both sides, how do you make that decision? Yeah, this guy can handle it.
Well, there's definitely an intelligence of learning two playbooks, and also that they're driven to do it, that they're willing to do it, that they're embracing that wholeheartedly, and you know when those two factors along with the skill set show up, then that's, you know.
Yeah, makes it easy.
Then I do it.
Yeah.
You know? Those are really the three factors that have to line up for you to do that. And also, I feel good about having the eye to do that. You know, something I'm always looking at, always trying to find that type of player who can do that. Khalil somewhat makes it a little easier. I mean, I'm not going to take any deep long bows for that. I mean, he was really more of an offensive player when he was in high school, kick returner, running back. And his arrow is way up at linebacker too now. He had a really good spring at linebacker as well. But hey, he's got the willingness.
Yeah,
you know, he's got the intelligence and he's got the skill set to be a two-way player.
Now, at the quarterback position, we saw Cade McNamara. Didn't get a chance to see JJ, but going into spring, what were some of the things that you wanted Cade to work on and see him improve from what you saw last year as a Big Ten champion quarterback compared to what you need to see him do this coming fall?
Well, all things you want to be progressing at, getting better at. Elevating his arm at the line of scrimmage, you know, some of those balls over the line of scrimmage where they're
gotten batted down.
They're not getting batted down. But just overall quarterback play, accuracy, timing, decision making, leadership, he continues to progress very well in all those areas. And JJ, even though he didn't play in the spring game, he took a lot of reps in spring practice, just didn't throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he is set to start throwing on Monday.
Oh, is he good?
So it's great news. And he brought, you know, even though he wasn't throwing, it still was the same JJ.
It's a lot of energy.
Bringing all the energy, all the competitive fire, all the leadership, all the, you know, like a kid in a candy store. You know, I mean, that's the only way or the best way to phrase what he's like.
Yeah.
You know, and there's certain guys that are like that, and he's one of them. And that's at the very highest level of, you know, everything that he does. He attacks with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. It just you just always want to give him a big hug.
I mean, yeah,
you just love being around him, and so he was, and he's. Got even an extra pep in his step, knowing he's going to be back throwing the ball on Monday.
Davis Warren, loved hearing about his story. Loved seeing him in the big house playing, having some success. How would you evaluate him, his spring and also his spring game? Because he got a lot of reps.
Yeah, we just had Cade going the first series for both teams and a second series within the first half. So four series for Cade. And then really came down to, with JJ not playing, Alan Bowman versus Davis Warren.
Yeah.
And thought they both acquitted themselves well, had them both live. There was no whistle going. They were playing real football out there in the spring game.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, with Davis, the more situations and positions we can put him in like that, the better, which we did a lot in the spring. So he's he's playing real football, because there was a lack of 2-3 years where he wasn't you know, playing 11 on 11 football. Yeah. But talented guy, really smart guy. You know, we like Davis a lot, and Alan Bowman as well. They're kind of, you know, competing, and you know, sometimes you know, Davis was more times Alan was the two, and Davis was the three. But there was times where Davis, you know, jumped up and be the two, and Dave mm-hmm. and Alan was the three in spring ball. So that's a, you know, it's an important position, and they'll keep battling, and nothing conclusive was made over the summer or over the spring because the summer's coming.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a big time for all quarterbacks. You know, what they do in the summer, how they handle their business, how much improvement they make, with understanding the playbook, you know, dialing in with their throwing, because in the summer they're going to be doing, you know, on their own a lot, you know, four or five times a week. You know, they grabbing receivers and honing and sharpening their craft. But I would say the same thing for Alex Orji and Jaden Denegal. You know, those two were both mid-year freshmen, and you know, they did some good things. You know, some flashes.
Yeah.
You know, long way to go, but you know, if they maximize, you know, what they can do over the next, you know, 4 or 5 months, I mean, that's gonna be huge for them, and see if they're gonna be a factor. Alex can really run. He was limited even in the spring game with an ankle injury that he had, but that's a strong, powerful, fast runner, and probably a little more ahead in throwing right now than Jaden. There's just watch the shorter the quarterback is, you know.
Yeah.
Their freshman year, 6'1", 6'2". I mean, just the more dialed in they are with their throwing mechanics, because they've been 6'1" or 6'2", you know, for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, but a guy like Jaden Denegal, he's like 6'5", you know, 6'4", and some 6'4¾". I mean, you just picture him. Okay, at 13 he was probably 5'11". At 15 he was 6 foot.
Angles 16, are changing.
The angles are changing in the legs, the torso, the arm, just getting that dialed in. I mean, once they get to their final height, mm-hmm. you know, they need a year or two at that. All the 6'4" really starts with about 6'3". 6'3", more so at 6'4", more so at 6'5". They just need to end the growth and be able to have a year or so at that final height and start getting all the levers dialed in.
Before we talk about the defense, I want to ask, you were the commissioner of the spring game.
Yeah.
You had a chance to see Sharon Moore as a head coach, Steve Klingscale as a head coach. You got a chance to evaluate players. We know in the fourth quarter you added some time to the clock. How much fun did you have just being able to take a step back? I know you're still coaching, but to be able to observe everything that was going on.
Right. So there's a thing there, even, you know, coaching the offensive line and calling the plays. I mean, you gotta get some practice at that. I mean, coaching a position, calling the plays, you know, head
yeah.
coach. I mean, that's a lot of stuff. And I thought Sharon came, you know, really, really did a great job handling it. Same with Matt Weiss, you know, coaching a really important position.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks and calling plays. Sharon Moore coaching a position and calling the plays, game planning. There's a lot there. And here's what I really saw that Coach Klink's more than ready to be a head coach. Sharon Moore is more than ready to be a head coach. And then I could go down. I mean, there's 8 more guys. Every guy. Mike Elson's ready to be a head coach. Jay Harbaugh's ready to be a head coach. Grant Newsom will be a great head coach. Jesse Minter is going to be a really good head coach. Mike Hart, more than ready to be a heck of a good head coach. Ron Bella, we already know he's a great head coach.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. He's going to be a really good head coach. I could list every single guy. Jay Harbaugh is completely more than ready to be a head coach and will be, and he's going to be great at it. He's going to be better at it than me. I'm looking at, like, every guy in the staff, all 10 of our coaches, and they're just really competent. They're really good at what they do, and they all bleed blue, and they're all pulling in the same direction. I mean, there's not one guy that's like trying to cut a guy out from their legs or, yeah, you know, climb over the top of another guy. I mean, they're all just, you know, working really good for their players and for the team. And you know, we've had that here in the past with assistant coaches, but at this point, never better, mm-hmm, than the way it is now. Just for those competent in what they do, team guys, bleeding blue, and all trying to pull, and are, you know, take the try out of it, they are pulling in the same direction. So there it is. Probably the most exciting thing coming out of spring practice is that's happening with the entire team. Your players, coaches, staff, everybody pulling in the same direction and good at what they do. Makes it fun, John.
Yeah.
Makes it really, really enjoyable.
I've always kind of wondered this, and you know, watching from afar, everybody knows when you're a head coach, especially in the college ranks, a lot of guys have a goal of going on to play in the NFL, and you're developing those players to be the best players that they can be for your program, but also that if they have that goal of football as a future,
mm-hmm,
that you develop them. Coaches, whether they want to be a head coach in college, a head coach in the NFL, how do you guide young coaches? How does a coach other coaches?
You know, similar to, I just always think of it as like, as a player. I mean, the same advice you're given to a player, you're really giving to your assistant coaches. You know, you're really giving to yourself. I mean, ultimately, you are the example setter for your players, and so you need to be about that as a coach. You know, mm-hmm, this isn't do as I say, you know, don't do as I do. This is
right.
You know, this is do as I do. I'm setting an example here. So really the same things I ask of the players, I ask more of myself in that regard. You know, and I look at that as the same for the coaches. I just asked them this. I mean, have your priorities. And, you know, for me, it's faith, family, football. And, you know, bring your A game to the office. Bring your A game to your household. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are God-given responsibilities. And, yeah, bring the A game to both of those. And, you know, if a guy is, you know, taking care of his family, the way a guy should be taking care of his family,
mm-hmm,
you know, which is, you know, doing a good job, being a good person, and then taking care of himself next. I can take care of yourself next. And if you're doing that the right way, I mean, really handling your business, taking care of your body if you're a player, and you know, making capable of making good decisions, then ultimately, you are taking care of the team, you know, that's in a tremendous way, you know. So whether a guy's trying to make it to the NFL or trying to make it, you know, has aspirations in coaching to be a great coach or a head coach and that kind of thing. I mean, yeah, take care of your family, take care of yourself, take care of us, take care of the team, at least get us in the, at least get us in that top four, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Looking at the defense, a lot of holes to fill. Guys moving on to the NFL, guys graduating at every level, defensive line, linebacker, and in the secondary, but also in the coaching staff. Let's start there. Jesse Minter, what'd you see from him in year two of this defense, but year one of Jesse Minter?
Yeah, really got the he's got the real even keel demeanor that you need from a play caller. Really understands offenses. To be able to defend an offense or attack an offense in their protections or cover them in their route schemes, I mean, you have to have a really good understanding. Same way an offensive play caller needs to really understand defenses and to know how to attack where they're weak, where you can get a matchup. He's super into meetings with the players. Really good with the staff. Takes input, asks for input, works really, really hard at it. And he got a real, real good maniacal, competitive streak to him as well, which is really, really important.
Yeah.
All really good things, but never once flustered or out of gas or overwhelmed. I mean, it was made it look easy, and that's a lot of the really great ones have the ability to make it look easy.
Mm-hmm. Now, up front on defense, you lost a few guys. Obviously, a couple of guys that are going to be possible first round picks: Aiden Hutchinson, David Ojabo. Who has filled the void left by those two guys?
Yeah, there's quite a few that are attempting to fill it and are doing a pretty good job. I mean, there's some really good players as you mentioned there, on the edges, Ojabo and Hutchinson, in the secondary, Hawkins and Hill, Josh Ross at the linebacker position, some real important roles there. Right off the rip, I would say Mozzie Smith. May turn out to be our best defensive player. Mike Morris is going to be right in there as well. The guy who's come so far, so fast, and played so good, when you go back and snap on the tape of the Iowa game and the Georgia game, is Chris Jenkins. And he's continued to just be dominant in the way he gets off of blocks, runs to the football, continuing to grow in his strength, tremendous. Think of him as the J.J. McCarthy of the defense. I mean, a kid in the candy store. Always looking for opportunity. Always having a good day. And on the edges, real excited too about Taylor Upshaw, who strong, physical, tough. Relentless type of player. And the guy who's grown the most is Jalen Harrell, who saw a lot of action last year and was a starter at time. I mean, kind of a true Sam backer, in a 3-4 defense. Athletic, can drop, can rush the passer. But, he showed up as the one – and only guy on the team to I mean, hit it out of the park in the classroom. He made the top 25 in the attack program, which judges everything, football practice, academic attendance and performance. And then he also, we reward a guy that can make all 15 practices. And we had a record number this year of just under 60, right around 60. You know, it's been 36 in the past. I mean, we had 61 that made all, and not just being there for in
full
person,
participants. Yeah,
participating yeah. in practice. I mean, over 10 plays when the competitive drills, you know, offense versus defense, scrimmaging type of practice plays, and then he was also on the winning special teams group. So he made all four of those, and he was the only guy to do it. We had a lot, you know, we had a good number of guys who got three out of those four.
Yeah.
But there was only one who was four out of four, and that was Jalen Harrell. So, yeah, looking forward to big things from Jalen.
In the secondary.
And other guys, too. I mean, I don't want to not say.
Sure.
Edge guys like Braden McGregor. Braden had a really good spring. He elevated his game quite a bit. And TJ Guy continues to flash, you know, they'll flash. They'll have a good play, but then maybe a play with, you know, they'd like to have back. And then all of a sudden it's, you know, two good plays and then one that you'd like to have back. Almost where Rayshon Benny was during the season, you know. A good one, then not a good one. Then two good ones, and then now Rayshon, like the floor for a bad play is so much higher than it used to be, and he's making some consistently making plays, getting off blocks, getting to the passer. Rayshon Benny's going to be a really good player, I predict. And then mid-year freshman Mason Graham would be the guy to keep an eye on as somebody that can play early out of the freshman class. You know, really high motor, well thought of, already physically pretty strong, but you know, needs some more strength work, but shows the athleticism and the agility to be a really good player. He'll play as a freshman.
He seemed to have really good awareness. Not a lot of times do freshman defensive tackles show up or we talk about on the broadcast. Mm-hmm. And he was one of those guys that when a quarterback seemed to get pushed out of the pocket, he was there to make the play. When a running back or shedding blocks, when I watched him, he seemed to have a really good awareness about him.
Yeah, I mean, he was playing at a pretty darn high level right off the bat, and he was out about a week or so or two. He had an ankle, came back faster than the ordinary man does.
Yeah,
which you love to see because there's a real level of toughness there. But you know, as you know, I mean, the closer you get to the ball, the harder it is to play as a true freshman.
Yeah.
You know, center, guard, D tackle, for sure. I mean, just the physical development of being strong enough to be a defensive tackle when you're playing against guys that are 4 and 5 years older. And now he's a mid-year freshman, should still be in high school, but he was right in there. And not just flashing, I mean, consistently playing really good, football. So, excited about that. And then the other guys, George Rooks was also flashing. Dominic Gadis, you know, showing that he's a football player. He's going to help us on special teams. He's got some athleticism and a big body, and has a real desire to contribute on special teams, so excited about him as well.
In the secondary, R.J. Moten,
can I mention Derek Moore?
What's that?
Can I mention Derek Moore?
Oh, absolutely. Just real quick. You can mention whoever you want.
Oh, okay. Derek Moore. He is going to be, I think my personal opinion, he's going to be a fabulous player. And probably will also be a really good player right away in the fall. He is really gifted athletically and strength. It's all there already. Mm-hmm. Another person who's a mid-year freshman. And when he figures out how to play with the really high relentless, you know, mid-play, you can still make a play. You don't have to just come clean.
Yeah.
To make a play and get involved in a tackle or a sack. You know, once he really learns how to play the game, and it's just learning, you know, the scheme and the counter moves. You know, once he learns that, I think he is going to be a beast out there on the edge. I have really, really high hopes for him.
Yeah, one of the things I liked about him, and tell me if I'm wrong, his ability to have a quick first step off the ball. He's got really good explosion and long arms.
And strength.
Yeah.
You know, already. Yeah.
And
he does have he has a really quick first step and second step. And, you know, and he can beat guys. You know, just it'll come. And Mike Elson's doing a tremendous job with all those guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, the development is there right now, seeing it. So good, so competent as a coach. But yeah, he's going to learn that guys, the tackles do punch back.
Yes, we do.
You know, you
got to defend ourselves.
And you try to punch first, and you know, you take really good sets, and so you do need. You know, they're gonna stick you more times than not. They're not gonna whiff and miss or get run over. You know, they're fully developed. You know, football players. So you need counters, and you know, you need that relentlessness. You know, that a guy like Aiden developed, and you know, didn't have his, you know, his didn't know it until his, you know, his you know, second year. You're used to coming out of high school and here I go, I'm by you.
Yeah.
You know, but
once doesn't he gets that, like that yeah.
once he gets that, and learns that, and I'm real confident he's going to be stellar.
And now before we finish up, I just want to talk a little bit about the secondary because, you know, obviously you mentioned Dax Hill and some other guys aren't there anymore. Who have you seen step up in the secondary as players, but also as leaders?
Yeah. RJ Moten, has really stepped up. DJ Turner coming along. Mike Sammer still, totally. I mean, he's put him anywhere. He's a leader. That's what we love. We got some real strong leaders in the secondary. You know, the guys that aren't afraid to talk or, you know, point something out. You're doing this wrong. You know, should be this way, whether it's in the training environment or on the field. Jamon had a very good spring. You know, they got such high potential. You know, a guy like Jamon Green and DJ Turner. You know, you saw DJ, you know, start realizing some of that. You know, just learning to have that, you know, that real locked in drive. You know, all in, all out, mm-hmm. all the time. You know, to match that the real skill that they have, and that. Tremendous growth there, both Jamon and DJ. RJ Moten, you know, strong leader. You know, he talks, people listen. You know, him just continue to take better angles and how he, you know, tackles. You know, that's where he's improving, but he's playing really well. And all this is coming from Coach Klinksale, by the way. You know, just, I mean, he loves him, and he's tough on him, and he'll tell you that. He'll be the first to tell you that's how he coaches. You know, he's a He's a very demanding coach in the best sort of way, because he really cares about making guys the very best they can be. So I'm all this development we're seeing in leadership and play effort is really being driven by Coach Klink. And the other guy has had a tremendous spring is Makari Page. He's developed that strength that you need. Mm-hmm. And I've always pointed out, though, I mean, with Makari, I mean, from his mid-year, presence here when he was a freshman. I can't remember if he was a mid-year or not now, but right away, hey, Makari Page, number 7. This guy's going to be something, mm-hmm. And then we get to the season and, he didn't happen, like I was predicting it to be. After his freshman year, goes into his sophomore year, another really fantastic spring, pretty good fall camp, and then not so much during the season. Now there's some good players there, Dax Hill, Brad Hawkins, and once again, at an even higher level, I'm saying Makari Page has had a – now, maybe I'm just going to stop saying that.
Yeah.
But if he can continue and now capitalize on the strength he has, toughness that's really developed, to go along with the athleticism, smart, savvy player, take that into fall camp, stay healthy, and should be a starter. He should be. Now the fate's in his hands. Mm-hmm. What he does with that over the summer and the fall camp, but I mean, he's poised and once again put himself in a position, to be a really good player and a starter. Also, been a lot of growth. Caden Kolesar continues to be our top special teams guy, playing all four. Relentless, outstanding, smart, fast, athletic guy who is, he could also, maybe he could beat out Makari. It'll be the
some
drive.
Good competition.
I think it'll be the drive, out of the two guys that ends up winning that. Little edge to Makari right now. And Quentin Johnson also, who really came on last year, in the special teams, and really came on in his desire and want to play and earn it and be good. He had a really good spring. So, come on with, hey, this stuff just isn't handed to you. You just don't come in and I was a 4-star.
Yeah.
Play me. You got to be better than somebody else. And I've really, really seen that light turn on for Quentin, and also Jordan Morant, to continue to, have that drive, that want to, football being, very important, right up there in the top three of your priorities. Because he's got all the natural athletic ability and toughness and can hit and not afraid. He could surface to be that type of guy. The one guy that wasn't out there was Rod Moore,
yeah,
who's got all those qualities.
Yeah, we saw him come on really, really fast at the end of the season last year.
Yeah, he true 17-year-old coming to college, didn't turn 18 till I think September or October of this past year, and just the guy who outworked everybody, who wanted it more. Took that smallish frame and wasn't afraid to, go from point A to point B and hit somebody. End up seeing him as the starter, toward the end of the season. Just ability, grit, drive, but a high school player that wasn't held back, a class,
yeah,
didn't reclassify, therefore he wasn't a 19-year-old 5-star. He was a 18-year-old playing, starting at the University of Michigan in the Big Ten and
yeah,
in the Big Ten championship game, and Ohio State and Georgia. And, man, had an off-season surgery, and now coming back, get that, you know, get a man year under his belt, you know, going from 18 to 19.
Those man years are important.
That's when they come, you know, really, when you go from 18 to 19. So really looking forward to gaining his man year, you know, and, you know, you're shaving every day, you know, you're, you know what I mean? You're not, you're not shaving once a week. You're shaving every single day. So he'll be right back in the mix. And also, Zeke Berry was not a mid-year freshman, but he'll be coming in the fall. Very versatile player, played a bunch of positions in high school at a great program at De La Salle. You know, he'll be a really good factor as well.
Well, I appreciate your time, Coach, and I promise I've only got two more questions.
Yeah, we got to talk about the linebackers.
You know what? I got lost in those when you start talking about Jalen Harrell.
Oh yeah,
and I apologize because one of my favorite players to watch as an athlete, because of his size and his speed, is Junior Colson. What did you see from your group of linebackers this spring?
Well, I love Junior. Junior really has it all. He's got a great work ethic, great attitude, great all the physical skills. Really smart guy that he can run the defense. He's completely capable of of being, you know, one of the best linebackers, you know, we've ever seen around here. So he's very young. You know, he's just a very young player. So probably should just say, you know, the longer it takes for Junior to figure out how good Junior is, the better off Junior's going to be.
Yeah,
you know, because exactly. There's always room for improvement. Yeah. You know, you don't want to think you've arrived, but that's the kind of player that he is. Nikhil Green, who's just a relentless, tough motor. Also a bunch of really good, gifted physical athlete, is had a heck of a good spring, and Clell Mullings is just right there with both of those guys. Mm-hmm. A linebacker really, really elevated his game. He was playing with a cast a lot of the time last year, the whole time, you know, the whole season last year. Clell was had a surgery on his hand, and but now that's off, and you know, just his ability to strike people and, you know, not have that pain or that cringe is really elevated his game. Mike Barrett, been completely he's a starter in our, you know, we go to five, we go to six DBs, and packages, but also you know, he's backing up Junior right now at Will, but he starts in packages, and a versatile player, excellent on special teams, contributes a ton. And young guy Jaden Hood, I continue to like him a lot. He kept showing up in his true freshman year toward the end of the season on scout team and showing and flashing, you know, a la Rayshon Benny and some other guys. Continue to work on his, you know, not as physical, not as big as Junior and Nakai. So, keep working on his craft there. But I like him a lot. And Joey V, knocking it out of the park over there in the baseball field, but really made a lot of strides in football, stayed with football the entire spring. That was really, you know, he was completely football all spring. And would sneak over to baseball, and then I'd notice he'd get a pinch hit or a game-winning triple over there. You know how hard that is to do, you know, I would think.
Yeah.
I was never a great hitter myself, but, just be all football and then over there to baseball when he could, you know, and do pretty darn good. Now he's over there full-time with baseball. But, bleeds blue, tremendous effort and motor and just finding the ball, nose for the ball, just working at that craft, he continues to do. And then finally we'll have two good young linebackers coming in, Jimmy Rolder and Deuce Spurlock, mm-hmm. who, you know, they'll remind you of Big Ten linebackers, you know, guys you've been around, seen around. I mean, very, very much like Kalel and Nakai and Junior.
Well, I mentioned two questions. The first, Milan Bolden Morris.
Mm-hmm.
What does she bring to your staff and your program?
She's really smart, and she got a great work ethic. She's a real, real go-getter. As far as, you know, understanding quarterback play, I really believe there's some similarity to being a point guard, mm-hmm. you know, distributing the ball, spatial awareness. But she's just really hungry to learn. Already comes up with perspectives. She's really gotten you know, some analytical things that I like to look at and, you know, get excited about and
yeah.
explore. And I can't always get other people excited about that, but right off the jump here, she not only gets excited about it, but offers another perspective. Hey, why don't we try it? Why don't we look at it this additional way? That kind of stuff fires me up. You know, when mm-hmm. when you have an idea and then somebody makes it even better than the idea that you had, I like that. She's learning all the plays and all the pass game, doing computer drawings right now, going through tape. She's every time I walk by her office workspace, I mean, she's grinding. Mm-hmm. Then after I hired her, I didn't even know this, but because I was back in way before we announced it that you know, made the decision I wanted to hire Mimi. She started going over to the Georgetown football office and volunteering, and just wanted to learn, wanted to be able to know football. And she was doing scouting breakdowns and computer drawings. And now it's my understanding that Georgetown thought so much of her that they tried to hire her as a full-time assistant at Georgetown football. And you know, she had,
you're able to steal her away.
Well, she'd already committed to it, yeah. But, yeah, that was, I mean, it's just impressive. First of all, that she took the initiative to do that.
Yeah.
You know, not getting paid, just wanted to learn. And so she would be more ahead when she got here. And also the second thing that's impressive is they thought she was really good. They wanted to hire her as a full-time coach.
And the last one, how do you and how do you lead your team to handle the expectations and the pressures of being the defending Big Ten champs?
Well, we got to be better. When you're a champion, all the other teams are scouting you. They're I mean, there's a target on the back there, and so everything you do, you know, every run blocking scheme, every pass protection scheme. I mean, they're already studying, but it amplifies that much more. I mean, you become the game, the red letter game. You know, yeah. the game they have to win and need to win and want to win, and they, you know, that's the one that they put up there. So yeah, more of a target on the back that way. So you know, need to be better.
Well, Coach, I appreciate your time, and enjoy the off season.
Thank you.
Thanks to Coach Jim Harbaugh for spending as much time as he did. A lot of valuable information there going through the roster. Great addition with Coach Mimi. And also, obviously, a lot of pressure going into this season as defending Big Ten champs. And throughout the rest of the offseason, we'll have more players. We'll have coaches. We're going to bring some alumni. But anything Michigan football, all your information, stay tuned in here on In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGo Blue Podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.